When it comes to solving the state's budget crisis, Illinois has not progressed very much in recent months. It's a full-fledged crisis, but didn't get a lot of time in Governor Bruce Rauner's State of the State address yesterday. Joining us now from Springfield to talk about the address and reaction to it is Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief with Illinois Public Radio. Amanda, nice to have you with us once again.
Sure thing.
Well, were you as surprised as a lot of people seem to have been over the lack of discussion about the budget yesterday?
It really does seem crazy to think that a governor could stand before senators and representatives for over a half an hour with scant mention of the budget impasse, which is historic in nature, coming just days after the state's largest social service provider had announced that it's closing some 30 programs, laying off 750 employees because it's waiting on state funding and the like. It's not that he didn't mention it at all. It was just at the end where the governor gave sort of an optimistic view, saying that he knows 2015 has been rough, but it is not too late. And even in that sentence said, we debated a budget with structural reform, and that's really what this is about. The budget hasn't even been negotiated. They've just been talking about the turnaround agenda, which is something that Governor Rauner says will make Illinois more competitive going forward and help the budget in the future. So, in a way, I guess I wasn't surprised, because why would he want to talk about that? It's not a good scenario, and this is his opportunity to shine. At the same time, it is something that you'd think would have been unavoidable, inescapable. His defenders say, hey, give him time. He's got a couple of weeks. Come February 17th, Rauner will be back before the joint session of the General Assembly to give a budget address, and then he really won't be able to escape talking about the budget.
Perhaps you ought to take just a few seconds and remind folks who aren't familiar with the situation as to what the budget problem is over there.
Illinois has gone without a budget for, it'll be really 8 months very soon, just a matter of days. And yet, this is where things get complicated, because I kind of sometimes call it the shutdown that wasn't, because the expectation would be, okay, no budget, everything is going to really immediately go into chaos. But Illinois has come through with funding in various areas. The Democrats did pass a budget over to the Republican governor. He signed it, and so part of it for education. So schools have remained open. And then there are a whole bunch of basically court orders, consent decrees. So go over to the judicial branch. They've kept money flowing, so state employees are still getting paid. And a lot of social services are. What's left out of that is higher education, so state universities, community colleges, and also another chunk of human services. So you're looking at public health clinics, rape crisis centers, funding for at-risk youth programs, mental health counseling, and the list goes on and on.
There's
two problems there, that they're not being funded, but also Illinois spending more than it's taking in, because I want to quick point out there, Don, sorry, that taxes have been down since 2015. So we're spending like we still had the extra income tax money coming in when Illinois doesn't have it.
We'll be talking a little later in the program about the impact of the social service cuts, by the way. But one of the things I'm confused about is the you've got the budget that has not yet been passed, and yet we're getting ready for him to present a new budget. What happens to the old budget when he presents the new one?
There is a lot of pontificating about that. Again, Illinois has never been in this situation. It's not supposed to go like this. So it's really anybody's guess. Some believe that Illinois could do a two-year budget, that it will include the one that would begin in July of this year and also then go retroactive to all of the time that Illinois hasn't had a budget. Maybe that's one idea. It really does put the governor in a difficult situation. His critics would say that this is something that the onus is on him, because he hasn't been willing to talk about the revenue and spending side of things, because he says changes have to be made first. His defenders would say, Democrats, hey, you had 12 years. The state is a mess. And so, no, we do need to make changes before you again think about raising any taxes. Raising taxes, sure, it'll deal with the budget in some way, but it's time to get focused on greater needs that Illinois has. So that's really what this is. It's kind of a pressure from both sides.
I know that House Speaker Madigan was among those who was disappointed about the governor's failure to spend much time on the budget issue. Here's what he had to say.
I certainly would have appreciated it had he done that, had he offered some comment as to why that hasn't happened.
Yeah, that very brief and succinct, but to the point. And he reflects the view, I guess, of virtually all of the Democrats, the majority in both houses in the Illinois legislature.
Of the Democrats, and who said that they're disappointed, but really also the social service agencies, the universities that are looking for an answer. They say with every day that passes, their situation is more and more difficult, and there will be more closures that we can't wait. This is, however, a difficult time. We've seen the partisan impasse. The governor, during his State of the State address, clearly made an attempt to reach out some. He talked about mutual respect and compromise. He had before seemed to want everything all in one full swoop. This time around, he said, all right, when it comes to, for example, local government consolidation, we can start small, get the easy stuff where we can get agreement and keep on debating the more difficult areas. So he tried to reach out, but Democrats aren't quite trusting of him and this new version of Bruce Rauner. And furthermore, he has continued to make his demands on the turnaround agenda. They aren't going anywhere, and Democrats say they're not going to stop opposing them. So I guess, yes, really there was a speech, a attempt to change in tone, but even today, it appears as if everything is right back as it was before the governor made his remarks.
So are we looking at gridlock there?
Oh, yeah. We are looking at a lot of gridlock, and also, of course, politics that never goes away, but an election, we all know, is on the horizon. It's not just the race for president. Also, the entire Illinois House and two-thirds of the Illinois Senate are up for election. So that makes all of these already difficult choices even more difficult.
There were some protesters outside the chamber yesterday, were there not?
There were, and frankly, I was in the chamber, so not out to witness the protesting myself, although they had been milling about the Capitol. You see lots of brightly colored T-shirts with various organizations that have brought groups down trying to, you know, distinguish themselves and stick out. They were, you could hear it as the governor was speaking, that something was going on, that there was chanting, but you couldn't make it out. They, however, I did learn afterward, were chanting things like budget first. It was these social service folks, really those who want a tax hike.
Well, let me play a clip from the governor here. It's very short, but he kind of addresses this issue. Let's hear what he has to say.
We were all elected to do a job. Our job is to improve the quality of life for all the people of Illinois.
Well, there are a lot of people outside the chamber, and there'll be people we'll be talking to later in this program who think that quality of life has been mightily disrupted by the governor's tactics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do. You hear some really it's sad stories, and then there's also the thought that, okay, if you're not funding these services now, let's take, for example, mental health counseling, for example. What's that going to do? That could cause somebody to harm themselves or others or, you know, go to prison. The governor has made as a goal reducing the state's prison population. He wants to have more rehabilitation programs in correctional institutions. That, of course, you know, takes money. So there's a thought that money that Illinois isn't putting into these now is money. Had they put it in, it would be money saved later on down the road. But right now, Illinois doesn't have the cash to put toward them. So it's really this difficult cycle. We've also seen the state's credit rating downgraded and expectation that more of that could be on the way. A bill backlog that while the tax increase was in place, the state had started to pay down is instead steadily rising. Again, however, Rauner and Republicans say that, okay, that is all true, but unless there is this pressure, unless something changes, we are just going to return to a status quo that people didn't like, that Rauner was elected to make these changes. And they say it's just Democrats are trying to defend people who contribute to their own campaigns. Both sides really saying the other is forcing the crisis.
Well, it sounds very familiar. We're hearing that on many levels this election cycle, needless to say. He put a lot of emphasis on education, as you indicated a little bit earlier. And as you also have mentioned, and we've talked about, this is an election year. Education is something that's very hard to be against. Do you think that any of the proposals that he has advanced are likely to get any traction this time?
That's another difficult question. One of them was kind of this olive branch. As I said, it was clear the governor tried to take more of a compromising tone. It seemed conciliatory. And particularly Senate Democrats, but also House Speaker Michael Madigan has said it's a priority for his caucus as well, wants to change how Illinois funds schools. The governor said that he's open to that, but that's difficult. Basically, again, Illinois doesn't have a lot of money, so when you have a limited pot, who do you give it to? Republicans say they don't want suburban schools to be getting less money from this state, as there is an effort to pump more money into poorer districts and perhaps, for example, more rural areas in the city of Chicago, that Democrats say, hey, these are the schools that are really hurting. The wealthier ones aren't. Property taxes can cover it. Get money to students most in need. So that's complicated. The governor actually had a 10-point education list. Some of it, sure. Merge a council that's focused on education. Maybe that's easy. Supporting partnerships between high schools, community colleges, and local employers for technical training. Maybe there could be movement on that. But number one, Democrats are having, I think, a hard time giving Republicans any sort of win. Trust is really an issue. But then also the governor's plans. He didn't get into any detail, but they talk about things like school choice and district accountability. So we're talking benchmarks, maybe some sort of voucher program or expansion of charter schools. Of course, Rauner is not a fan of unions, and typically charter schools aren't unionized. So unions see that as another part of a battle in really this war.
Well, unions aren't fans of his either. And I did notice that the teachers union leader pretty much blasted the governor's education policies.
Exactly. So blasted that. And then Rauner, during his State of the State address, also spent a chunk of it really talking about AFSCME. They had been negotiating for months on a new state contract, and Rauner has moved to say, hey, no more talks. We're at an impasse. It isn't going to go any farther. And we've heard from him about that. You know, we know where he stands, but he really, during this address, he talked about AFSCME saying they've filed grievances against volunteers at campgrounds for just trying to help visitors. He said that they had made unabashed demands for higher compensation that's out of touch with reality, and he wants to, you know, go forward and make changes that include giving raises based on productivity versus seniority. So all of these things are a fight between Rauner and unions, and have been, but he used this speech to really lay out where he stands in a more direct fashion on this contract and with AFSCME in particular.
You know, if I can take a moment to look at the national picture, and we talked about this off the air, but Donald Trump, of course, is running as a businessman, and he's got tremendous poll numbers, as he is wont to point out from time to time. Tremendous poll figures, tremendous acceptance on a large segment of his Republican Party. Running as a businessman, and he's got a self-financed campaign. That's exactly how Bruce Rauner ran. Are people in Springfield or any of the people you run into talking about this similarity between the two?
A ton of it. And of course, Illinois is generally considered such a blue state, and we're later on in the primary season, so haven't had a whole lot of presidential candidates come in here. And further, we've obviously had our hands full politically with this budget situation. But Donald Trump was a candidate who stopped by actually the capital city here in Springfield. And I know I asked some people, hey, do you see any similarities? These are both businessmen, both wealthy businessmen who are able to fund their campaigns and use that really to bring voters on their side, to say, I'm not beholden to anybody else. I'm my own man. And at least this, of course, was a Trump rally, so his supporters, they didn't seem all too concerned. Again, however, I think you would have a lot of people that would point to how Rauner has done. Democrats continually say he hasn't been around. He doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing. Things don't work the same in government as they do in the business world. We are co-equal branches of government, legislators say, so he can't just tell us what to do, click his fingers and order it like it's a mandate. So maybe that is something that voters should look at as they're considering a Trump candidacy. I will say that polls, and these aren't huge polls or anything, but polls have not shown that voters are all too happy with Governor Bruce Rauner. He says he's not concerned about that. He's persistent, and they will be once he gets his turnaround passed.
Well, the few seconds we have left, Amanda, tell me what you're looking forward to in the coming weeks up there.
It's going to be, I think, a whole lot more of the same. We just actually had both chambers of the legislature with Democratic support pass money that would get MAP grants. These are for low-income college students going. And that, once again, put Republicans in a bit of a pickle because they represent universities. And so they voted against it. We're going to see maybe more piecemeal budgeting, a whole lot of partisanship, and a whole lot of campaigning leading up to the primary.
You're going to be a busy lady, Amanda Vinicky.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being with us. That's Amanda Vinicky, Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief. We'll be back in a moment to talk further about the impact of that budget crisis in Illinois a little bit closer to home. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. The budget stalemate in Illinois continues to take the huge toll, as we have indicated earlier. Joining us now is Elizabeth Patton Whiteside, Eastside Health District Public Health Administrator. Joining her is Ruby Allen Ellis, Assistant Administrator with the Eastside Health District. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, what do you think of the State of the State message?
It didn't say a thing about public health.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
And we've already indicated many people are disappointed. I know you're certainly among them.
Yes, I'm extremely disappointed. We're at a breaking point. The health departments in the state of Illinois have laid off a lot of their staff, and at least one-third of the local health departments, that is, have laid off their staff. At my facility, I've laid off 70% of my staff. We're working at four-day capacity. We cannot do the job that the public expects us to do.
What do you do at your facility? Whom do you serve?
Presently, at my facility, I serve four townships in St. Clair County, which is roughly 60 to 65,000 individuals. And we do more than just the core functions of the health department. And those core functions are investigation of communicable diseases, any type of outbreaks such as flu, STDs, HIV, and that. We also do the restaurant inspections. Our environmental health department deals with our water, our drinking, so that we don't wind up in a Flint, Michigan-type situation. And we also do private sewage. Now, that's just the core functions of the health department. In addition to that, Eastside Health District does. We have a WIC and Family Case Management Services. We have expanded STD services because St. Clair County has one of the highest communicable disease rates for HIV and STDs.
So it's not a stretch then to say there are a lot of people involved in your area, if
Correct.
You will, your district, that are at great risk.
Correct. We have the most indigent population within St. Clair County that we serve. And without us, people come to us for everything, everything. And we have been a resource for the community ever since 1937.
I understand more cuts are to come.
Yes. This Friday, I will be laying off the entire family case management program. the staff, and that means that on Friday, I'm cutting 2,000 clients that we will no longer serve.
2,000 more.
2,000 more.
How many, is there a number that you can give to the number of clients or potential clients that have been affected by all of this?
Oh, no, I couldn't give you an exact number because of all of the different programs we do, but I can tell you that our, well, even though we received no funding, we've continued to provide services, and it's limited services, so our numbers are way down.
Ruby Allen Ellis, let me turn to you. You're affected by all of this, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I've been affected personally and professionally in my position. Certainly, the Family Case Management Program was one of the programs that I had oversight over. And that particular program has caused the agency to be at approximately $350,000 in the hole because the governor has not approved the budget.
What about your job?
My job ends as of tomorrow, and I have been laid off. And certainly it impacts my livelihood, but more importantly, it impacts the clients that we were able to serve under those various programs under case family case management. So certainly the morale is down in the agency because of it, because even though there are some, we still have some core services there, no one deserves to be laid off, and the families that we have served over the many, many years are being impacted tremendously because this agency cannot serve them.
Elizabeth, what happens when you lose Ruby?
Well, I try to assume more of her duties. I'm stretched as far as I can go also. Everybody there is doing multiple tasks. And we just continue to do the best we can. At this point, although that one program is over $350,000 in arrears for payment, I would say that the district right now is owed over $600,000 because of no budget. So it's going to get to the point that we're going to have to close our doors.
How close are you to that point, do you think?
I'm praying that we can make it through the end of this budget year to July. But that's going to come with more cuts. And the question is, how much further can I cut? As she said, Friday, Family Case Management is being terminated, those programs. I'm also closing down one of my clinics in Cahokia, Illinois. So those clients will have to come into East St. Louis to try to get the services with limited staff. So there we go with waiting lists, backlogs, all of that.
And this scenario can be played over many, many times throughout the state of Illinois.
That's correct. That's correct. Southern Illinois is hit the hardest with this budget cut. We don't get a lot of federal funding like Chicago and Chicago Public Health does. So Southern Illinois is, we're crying desperately for help.
Ruby, what happens with you now? Do you just try to wait this out, or do you start to look for something else? None of us is independently wealthy, and we need income to survive.
Right. It has impacted my livelihood for sure. And, of course, it's a waiting game that my staff has to play, in addition to also at which they have to continue to look for jobs because their livelihood has also been impacted. And certainly that'll be something that I'll be looking at as well. But, of course, we all crazy about what we do as a profession working for Eastside Health District. We've impacted a lot of residents in four different townships. So we are always looking at what we can do to assist the residents there. So the residents are crying out as well. They want the services.
So your own hurt is tempered by the fact that you're seeing an awful lot of other people hurt by
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So we want to do whatever we can. So I'm certainly prayerful and hoping that the governor and the bipartisan party gets their act together and begin to look at what impact it's making on the entire state of Illinois.
Elizabeth, did you see any irony in the governor's comment that we played earlier about how all he's interested in is improving the quality of life?
That, to me, when I heard that, and it was a group of us around the table watching, we all laughed because that's ridiculous. We all know that with the funding to the schools and the other things, that's good. But if you're not well, you can't go to school. And that's health is your number one thing. And our whole premise is to prevention. We prevent other diseases to keep people healthy.
Is there anything that you are doing or can do to lobby the governor, to lobby the legislators which are supporting him?
Well, I'm part of the Illinois Public Health Association, and as a member of the association, we've all gotten together and is lobbying as best we can. Of course, we have no money, but lobby the best we can for the health departments in public health.
And for all those people out there who yes. need you and need your services. Mm-hmm. And I have to let it go at that. We'll certainly wish you well and hope this is resolved quickly enough so that you and Ruby, that you can continue your livelihood there, which obviously, how long have you been at your job?
Since 06.
06, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both for being with us and taking the time. And again, we wish you all the very best. That would be Ruby Allen Ellis and Elizabeth Patton Whiteside for being with us. All the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you.